you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, November 8th, 2019. And by way of a public service announcement, if you haven't unattached your hose to the spigots along the side of the house, do it now, because I had this problem some years ago where we left it on, didn't think about it, finally took it off at some point in the winter. And then when spring came around and I turned it on, no problem. About an hour later, went into the house and water was coming down the wall. So if you leave the hose attached to the spigot, I guess there's some pressure that builds up and it does something with the water, and that stays in the line or it stays up, and when the freeze comes it can bust the pipe. So get your hoses in. I finally just brought in the hummingbird feeders a couple days ago, so had those out a little bit longer than usual. But with this cold weather upon us, and it's feeling like winter, and certainly I'm feeling like winter, in 21 days we'll begin launching Christmas music. So that's the day after Thanksgiving.
There's some people who are already listening to it, and they need help.
I've seen some ads, some things that are already coming on. The Hershey Kisses jump up, and they're ringing the bells, and they're saying happy holidays.
Turkey first. So. Turkey first.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's coming up. Holidays are upon us. An exciting time. I love when we transition into Christmas music the day after Thanksgiving. And with Thanksgiving being so late, actually, the 28th. So December 1st is Sunday, the weekend of Thanksgiving weekend. Another thing I want to point out. A happy sad gathering tonight and tomorrow as Marge the Cookie Lady Ketchum, her visitation will be at 6 p.m. tonight at the Nazarene Church of Ogden. And then tomorrow at 10 a.m. there will be a celebration of life, her homegoing service. And so that's at 10 a.m. also at the Nazarene Church of Ogden. So we appreciate Marge and look forward to supporting the family in prayer and just communicating our love and great memories of Marge. Her and Herb, I think it was their anniversary was always celebrated. I think that must be in April 7th. When we launched the radio ministry, we always kidded that we put on this big event for them. We keep Herb and the whole Ketchum family all prayed up in the days ahead as they grieve and as they deal with the loss of their loved, beloved Marge, a mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, and a friend to many of us. So. Veterans Day is also coming up on Monday, and so we'll probably have some special music. I'm still working out whether we'll have an interview and keep with our Memorization Monday or just highlight our love and appreciation for the veterans and those that serve in our armed forces. And I know on Thursday you were a part of a special, what was it, a Veterans Appreciation Breakfast?
It was a Veterans Breakfast that was held at the Sunrise Funeral Home on Neal Street in Champaign. They had one also at their location, I believe, in Danville. Yeah, it was great. It was all the local Legion commanders came out for it. There was a number of veterans and soldiers. The ROTC for the Air Force and the Army came out from the University of Illinois. So it was a full room and a full catered breakfast, and it was all free, provided by Sunrise Funeral Homes. And it was really great. It was about an hour and 10 minutes long, but just a real honoring hour and 10 minutes. So.
And somebody somehow put your name in, and they called you to say, would you share
thoughts? Yeah, they called
and
asked if I would be willing to come and share. And so, you know, I asked my wife, because they said, you can bring your wife, and it's a big breakfast and the whole nine yards. And I said, well, I'd love to. And I always, anytime I have the opportunity to go and encourage veterans, I love to do it.
Being a veteran yourself.
Being a veteran myself, and my wife's a veteran, but also I think that is crucial to remembering, to acknowledging, and to honoring, to understanding what came before us, and to kind of keeping in front of us that the freedom that we so enjoy, it isn't free. And sometimes what you need to remember that it's not free is to see the faces of those people who served and sacrificed, those people who, you know, when I talk about bear the scars or bear even the mental scars, the heart scars of what it meant to go to war and meant to go into combat, you know, you see people in the room kind of, you can tell their body language that they're those people. And so I think that sometimes it's so important to see those faces, to make those connections, because, you know, if not, then we're disconnected. If not, then we're kind of like, well, you know, I mean, it's Veterans Day, but I don't really know any veterans. And I don't think that that's true.
All right.
And so, you know, one good challenge to those of you who are in earshot right now is all throughout the weekend and on Monday, you know, if you see somebody with a hat on that says that they serve, maybe they have a military hat on, you know, sometimes the Navy will have those hats with the battleship names and that, you know, go over there and give them a handshake. Tell them thank you for their service. Tell them that you appreciate what they've done, that the fact that you're walking around freely and you're in your car and you're going shopping or you're at the restaurant or wherever it is that you're at. That's made possible by their sacrifices that they made both in peacetime and in wartime. You know, what's interesting is Veterans Day actually began as Armistice Day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that was instituted at the end of World War I on the 11th hour or the 11th day of the 11th month of the hostilities ended between the Allies and the Germans. And so they actually called it the War to End All Wars Day. And so as they moved on and World War II happened and the Korean War happened, at the urging of the Veteran Services Organizations, Congress amended Armistice Day to include it being called Veterans Day so that they would honor all American veterans who served in all different capacities. Which brings me to an interesting fact, something I didn't know. A lot of people would ask the question, you know, is it veterans apostrophe S? Is it veterans S apostrophe when you write out Veterans Day? And the answer is no. It's veterans, no apostrophe, and it's purposely done that way because the day belongs to nobody. Hmm. It belongs to everyone who served.
Oh.
So it can't be ascribed to any one person. It's to honor all the different people who served. And that's really what Veterans Day needs to be for us. It needs to be a time where we acknowledge and we remember and we honor those people who have served. You know, Woody Allen famously said, the reason history repeats itself is because no one was listening the first time.
Oh, jeez.
And so we need to listen, lest we'll begin to make those mistakes again. And I think that we see that. If we look out across in our nation right now, we look and we see, I think we've forgotten a few things. I think as we enjoy the fruits of our freedom, we've forgotten that the freedom that we have, it isn't free. The freedom that we have was paid by those men and women, those brave men and women, who sacrificed and served all across history. And we need to remember them. Winston Churchill said, a nation that forgets its heroes will soon be forgotten itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to remember. We need to acknowledge. And one of the funny things is that when we talk about the veterans, we talk about remembering, we talk about all this stuff, we tend to think of Washington. We tend to think of the White House. We tend to think, well, all these things need to come from there. And I really don't think that that's true. I think that what's best about America begins at breakfast tables. It begins in the backwoods. It begins in neighborhoods. It begins around your dinner table. It begins with your neighbors and your friends. That's where it begins. We need to stop trying to say, we're just going to worry about these other people to take care of all these things in our lives and begin to take care of and shepherd one another. You know, there was an anonymous quote that says, there's nothing wrong with America that can't be cured by what is right in America.
Mm-hmm.
And I think how we are when we get around the tables, when we open up our homes to our neighbors, when we love one another well, I think that's what's best about America. And the funny thing is that thing that I would say that's best about America has little to do with America and has far more to do with God. Far more to do with God. We, as Christians, know that we love because He first loved us. You know, and so think about the Star Spangled Banner in the fourth stanza. It's actually rarely sung. In fact, as I read it, you probably won't even remember the fourth stanza. But it goes like this. It says, oh, thus be it ever when freemen shall stand between their loved homes and war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation.
Hmm.
Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God we trust.
Hmm.
In God We Trust is absent from almost all performances of that song now. But I'm going to tell you what, I think it's probably one of the most, it's the rightest thing about America. It's the rightest thing about us. In God We Trust. And when we fail to remember that, when we fail to hold on to In God We Trust, I think we begin to fulfill the prophetic words of Ronald Reagan, who said, if we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will certainly be one nation gone under.
Hmm.
And this is the Bible's lesson, isn't it? The Bible continually tells us, be careful, do not forget. Be careful, do not forget. Be careful, do not forget. And why does it tell us that? Because with things that we are not careful about, that we do not care well for, what do? It's a softball, Mark. We forget. We forget. That's right. And in doing so, what do? We fulfill those prophetic words of Ronald Reagan. By the way, the Bible says what Reagan says this way. The Bible says in Psalm 9 and 17, the wicked shall return to Sheol all the nations that forget God. And so you don't have to be a Greek or a Hebrew scholar to understand what this verse means. This verse basically says a nation that forgets God's going to hell. That's exactly what it says. And therefore the Bible reminds us, be careful, do not forget. Be careful, do not forget. In fact, that's the whole of the Old Testament, isn't it? The whole of the Old Testament is Israel drifting from God, beginning to forget, and then God calling them back. Remember, remember, acknowledge and follow me. And then them beginning to drift again. And coming back. We have this whole big fat book called the Old Testament to train us and teach us about a people who continually drifted. And Jesus came to call us to fix our eyes upon Him. In fact, in the New Testament, we have that great story of Peter getting out of the boat. And he begins to drift. And Jesus has to call him back to center again.
And I'm thinking about part of the Hebrew practice, and practice for maybe many families, is the passing down of the stories of the family or
exactly.
The experiences and the importance that even Jesus tells us to go and share the good news. It's that retelling the story, our faith journey, or for the veterans, you know, the things that they went through, the life lessons learned, and the importance of the father and mother passing on to the children.
Yeah, I love to tell the story. Mm-hmm. We sing that hymn so often, but do we love to tell the story? And it's so important that we do tell the story, because if we don't tell the story, then those who have not heard have forgotten. The best way for us to teach one another how to honor and acknowledge is to tell the story. It's a great setup that you gave me, because in Joshua chapter 3, it says, Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out for Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and they lodged there before they passed over. Here Joshua is going to pass over into the promised land. The promises of God are going to be fulfilled amongst this people who keep leaving and coming back and leaving and coming back, drifting and coming back. And Joshua and they are about to cross over. But before they cross over, the Bible says this, at the end of the days, the officers went throughout the camp and commanded the people, as soon as you see the ark of the Lord, your God, being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, set yourselves apart, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders amongst you. See, remembering isn't just a physical battle, it's a spiritual battle too. And therefore, Joshua requires the people to have a spiritual preparation. They set themselves apart. Why do they set themselves apart? So they can focus on God. So they can keep their mind on God. Because when they don't focus on God, the common things begin to distract them. And instead, you know, it might be possible they could walk into the Jordan and be like, gosh, the water's kind of cold. Oh, it's kind of slimy on the bottom. Oh, I don't know. Instead, they keep their eyes on the ark. They keep their eyes on God. And they walk through God's miracle that He's about to unfold in front of them. And Joshua goes on to say, and Joshua said to the children of Israel, come and hear and listen to the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, here is how you shall know that the living God is amongst you. And as Joshua 3 progresses from there, we read this amazing account where he dips the ark into the water and the water parts. God goes before them and the River Jordan parts, because the presence of God must always lead the way. God must always be first and God will always go first. And so as it's dipped in the water and it begins to go to the sides, the promise of God, the promised land, opens up to them. And then, interestingly, we segue into Joshua chapter 4, and there Joshua gives the people very specific instructions from the Lord. He says for them to send a representative from each of the 12 tribes into the dry riverbed where the water is parted, and to take a stone. And they're to set the stones up as a memorial, as a remembrance of what God has accomplished for His people on that day. By the way, isn't it interesting that they're to take the memorial from the miracle? They're to go walk back out into the place where the miracle happened and collect those stones, because the memorial comes from the miracle. I love that. And God knows that we have trouble remembering. Everything from where our car keys are to when our anniversary is, the fact that freedom isn't free. God knows that we're forgetful, so He gives us these waypoints, these memorials, and He commands us to do certain things so that we'll have these reminders. And why? Well, you say, so that we don't forget. Yeah, that's true. So that we'll have it to look at, to keep it in front of us. That's true. But actually, the Bible says something even more interesting. It says, because when your children ask in a time to come, what do these stones mean to you, then you shall tell them. See, the purpose of the memorial was not just to have somewhere to go, but so the people of Israel could be reminded to teach their children about the things God had done, so that the work of God would not be forgotten amongst the generations. And isn't it interesting? It doesn't say, and fathers, don't forget to tell your kids the stories. It says, father, it actually implies, fathers, you may forget to tell your kids the stories, but they'll ask you. I love that. And did you notice that? I mean, the memorial causes the children to ask the question, what do these stones mean? You know, every year, and I don't say this to toot my own horn, I just say this because I think it's important to know that we're trying. Every year I take my kids to Memorial Day gatherings. I preach out at the sportsman's campground. I get a chance to share a message every year, and it's something that I joyfully do. I X that out of my calendar. I get a new calendar every year. I X that day out because I know that's where I'm going to be in the morning. And I bring my kids there. And then when that service wraps up, always in front of us you have chairs where the veterans sit, and my kids come up there, and I have them shake hands. Why do I have them shake hands with those veterans? Number one, because those hands won't be there to shake forever. And number two, because sometimes you have to touch those living stones to be reminded of what God has done. You have to thank them for their service. You know, I bet you there's a lot of people who are listening to this right now in earshot who are really frustrated by the next generation. You know, if you're frustrated by the next generation, one of the ways that you combat that is getting over your frustration and sharing with them the things that they need to remember, the things that they need to hold on to, the stories of not only your life, but your life in Christ and what God is at work doing. Because listen, we can't have them own the fact of what we've neglected to share with them. How can we hold them to that standard? It's impossible. And everywhere that we don't share, I think our kids are weakened. I love this prayer that Douglas MacArthur, he had such care for his son. He wrote this prayer for his son, and it says this: build me a son whose heart will be clear, whose goal will be high, a son who will master himself before he seeks to master other men, and one who will reach into the future yet never forget the past. Give him humility so that he may always remember the simplicity of true greatness, an open mind of true wisdom, and a meekness of true strength. Then I, his father, will dare to whisper, I have not lived in vain.
Wow.
And that's amazing. And then as a caveat, because a preacher's always got one more point, something else happens in Joshua that's amazing. Joshua has the representative from each one of the tribes, 12 in total, come and stack the stones up on the shore as a memorial. But then God commands Joshua to command them to go into the riverbed and to stack up another 12 stones in the center of the riverbed. I don't know if when you read that passage before you caught that, but it's very interesting. I mean, he set up the pile on the shore, and I get that, so the people as they pass by can remember that. But why did he set up memorial stones inside the dried riverbed only for the water to kind of, as it finished parting, to come back over the stones? He did so that when in low seasons or seasons of drought, these stones could be seen to testify to God's work. And this is important because, friends, when I look around right now, I see an ethical drought. I see a moral drought. I see a drought of doing what's good and what's right and what's kind. I see a drought of kind of common decency, the ability to talk with one another. Listen, the river's dry, and it's getting drier. And so what we as the people of faith need is to look out into that dry riverbed and realize that God has stacked up some stones to remind us that He is still there, that He still is the King of all things, and that He still is on the throne. That we still, no matter how dry the river may get, we still love to tell the story, the old, old story of Jesus and His love. And we need to remember that God is at work.
You know, I'm thinking also by having the stones in the river, people could be on the shore saying, well, did it really happen? We see them here, but did it really happen? Yeah. Well, look, that's when it was dry ground, that's when they assembled those in the middle of the river. Look at how they've been stacked and put together. That didn't just happen. They didn't just roll that yeah. way. This happened when God did the miracle work. I don't know. Wow, yeah. Well, Joshua's a great book and so many other great points, and the fact that God used Joshua, and they wandered for those 40 years. Yeah. But then it was to the point when all those unbelievers or all those that failed to believe in God and that He was going to take them to the promised land, they had passed away. And so this was the new generation that needed to be reminded of the stories and then be reminded to tell and pass on those stories to their offspring, their future children that would be in the the land.
I would be remiss not to mention also that on November 4th, Art Lienerman and Muhammad passed away. Art Lienerman was one of the last 11 of the USS Indianapolis who survived 300 and I forget how many, 300 and something survivors from over 700 when they were sunk by a Japanese submarine and went into the water. And his funeral will be on Sunday, I believe. You have to look for the obituary, but I believe it'll be Sunday in Gibson City. And it should be quite the funeral because he'll have full military honors and that. But those who are in earshot right now and had the opportunity, I think it was a year and a half ago at the Muhammad American Legion or various places, hear his testimony of what it was like to float on the water and wonder if he was going to be saved and to hear his friends around him dying as the sharks ate them.
Yeah.
I got to know Art. I was in line at McDonald's and I saw his hat. And this is my custom. Whenever I see somebody with a military hat on, I thank them for their service. And Art began to tell me a story. And I looked at him and I said, Art, there is no way that a man who survived the sinking of the USS Indianapolis will pay for his own cheeseburger. And so I paid for his cheeseburger. And then he told me this. I said, do you like cheeseburgers? He said, I love cheeseburgers. He said, in fact, when I was floating on the water in the ocean waiting to be rescued, all I could think about was cheeseburger. And he said, since then, I've had cheeseburgers a few times a week, every week. And so I would run into Art all the time at the Muhammad McDonald's, and I would buy him a cheeseburger. We met probably two times a year at least, and I would always say, Art Lienerman. And if finally it was funny. I think it was the last time or the time before I saw him last. I said, Art Lienerman. And he said, thank God I don't have to pay for my cheeseburger. Because he had a great sense of humor. Right up to the end, 95 years old, sharp as a tack.
Wow. And that's this Sunday?
That'll be this Sunday. It's in Gibson City. You'll have to look for the obituary, but yes, one of the last folks of USS Indianapolis.
Well, from cheeseburgers to our cookie lady, Marge Ketchum, mm-hmm. and her visitation tonight at 6 p.m. and her homegoing celebration of life service tomorrow at 10 a.m. at the Nazarene yes. Church of Ogden. Thank you, God, for those that follow you, that finished well, that have that eternity secured, mm-hmm. where there's no more pain or suffering or heartache in the everlasting presence of God. Wow, something for us all to look forward to mm-hmm. and to proclaim today and to be assured and to be reassured that we can pass on our faith journey stories with those that we come into contact with. Mm-hmm. So may your day be filled with those divine appointments where you get to share the good news message of Jesus. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day, night, and weekend.